morning I am reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he, meaning Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And then Jesus says to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Here ends the reading of the gospel. Amen. For those that don't know me, I am Nancy Curtis. I'm a member of this church, a chaplain at St. Peter's University Hospital, and a student at New Brunswick Theological Seminary. And I thank you for welcoming me to the pulpit this summer. And this summer, I've decided to spend some time reading and studying the commentaries on the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John by R.C. Sproul. One of the first things I've heard from people as I've been attending the seminary is, "Do you read R.C. Sproul?"
No.
He's a Reformed theologian, an ordained Presbyterian pastor, and the founder of the Legionnaire Ministries, which is a study center for college and seminary students outside of Pittsburgh. Sproul has been described as the greatest and most influential proponent of the recovery of Reformed theology in the last century, which is why I'm probably asked, have I read his works? I like them. So we will be spending some time this summer looking at the Gospel of Mark, a little of the Gospel of John, through Sproul's theological lens. He, of course, as all good books, begins it with a preface. And I'd like to read the preface so that we can kind of understand better the Gospel of Mark. R.C. Sproul says, "The Gospel of Mark, I believe, is both overlooked and underappreciated. Tucked away between the longer and more detailed synoptic gospels of Matthew and Luke, and lacking the rhetorical flair of John's account, Mark is rarely cited first when preachers and theologians look to bolster their arguments from the accounts of Jesus's life and ministry. If asked, few of us could readily say what makes Mark unique among the gospel accounts. We need to get to know this little book. Above all, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and included in the canon of Scripture for our edification. Moreover, it was composed for an audience of Gentiles, that's us, probably in the city of Rome itself, meaning it's highly relevant for Christians who lack a Jewish background today. Also, it's valuable for its succinct quality. The book moves quickly and emphasizes things that happened to Jesus in his ministry years. But perhaps most important, however, Mark takes pains to show that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh. He opens the gospel by saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark 1:1. And everything in the book leads up to Peter's great confession, "You are the Christ," Mark 8:29. In a day and an age when the world insists that Jesus was at best a great teacher, we desperately need to see and be reminded of these truths. Mark actually seems to downplay Jesus' teaching in order to focus on the power and authority with which he carried out his ministry, demonstrating again and again he was like no other man. This is a perspective we dare not neglect. So let's look at our text today through Sproul, and that thought of Jesus is God. So Jesus has been in the boat, teaching the disciples and the crowd that's gathered on the beach. The verses prior to our text this morning are the parables of the seeds, or sowers. The lamp not being hid under a bushel and having faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus was explaining to the disciples what these parables meant, and he was explaining to them the purpose of parables. So our text today picks up at the close of the day. When evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Now, this was expected behavior. Fishermen fished at night because the Sea of Galilee was known for its storms, and the storms were usually worse during the day. Little trivia, the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level at the bottom of the Jordan River Valley, and it's surrounded by steep hills and mountains. Sproul says that the mountains can funnel wind from the west off the Mediterranean Sea and from the east off the desert, and these winds cause great storms on the sea. But this storm was unexpected, which is why the disciples, a few of whom were fishermen from the Sea of Galilee, were so afraid. Can you imagine these seasoned fishermen who were used to fishing on the Sea of Galilee being so afraid of this unusually large storm? The text says a great windstorm arose, but Jesus was calm. Now, the text says that he was asleep, but I kind of wonder if he was playing possum. You know, he could teach the disciples a little lesson. If he just pretends to be asleep, the storm comes up. Text doesn't say that, though. Remember, he just taught them the visual of the mustard seed, a small seed that grows into a large tree, and compared it to our faith in God. The disciples had the same response to the storm in their lives that we have. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" "Jesus, you were asleep when my kid got into trouble." "Jesus, you were sleeping when I received a cancer diagnosis." "Jesus, you were sleeping when I lost my job." "So therefore, you do not care what's happening to me." We're just like the disciples. We can't pretend that we don't rebuke Jesus just like the disciples did. "Teacher, you do not care that we are perishing." Jesus comes back with two rebukes of his own, one for the storm and one for the disciples. "Peace, be still." That's the rebuke for the storm. He tells the wind, "Be still." However, the disciples, he's like, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" We know from the text that the storm calmed. It says the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. But not so with the disciples. The NRSV, which is our Pew Bible, says the disciples were in awe. But the King James Version says they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey?" Sproul is very interested in these words, in these verses, and he uses the King James Version. "A great windstorm arose, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then they," the disciples, "feared exceedingly." The disciples were intimidated by the storm, but their fear intensified when the threatening storm was removed. This intensification of their fear, according to Sproul, is their response to their new depth of understanding about the person of Christ. I think their mustard seed grew a little that day. Sproul says the disciples experienced the holiness of Christ. They were quick to wake him when the storm hit. They had seen a few miracles. But this power, this is uncommon power. This was holy power. And finding themselves in the presence of the Holy One of Israel, they were consumed by fear. I have this beautiful young man that comes to the hospital frequently. I will call him Mark. Mark is autistic, and he has had several personal experience of the angels and God. This week he was in the hospital and we were just talking, and I asked him, I said, when you get to heaven, what's the first thing you're going to ask, you're going to say to Jesus? And he responded without even a pause. And he's from the South, so you got to say it with a Southern accent. I would ask Jesus to go fishing. I was like, wow. I think I will be speechless. I will fall on my face. I will be in awe. I'm like the disciples. I know I will fear exceedingly. Mark knows Jesus as a fisherman, and Mark has a ministry. And it's to spread the gospel wherever he goes. His father takes him and parks him in Quick Check where they live. So I really wasn't surprised that Mark wanted to go fishing with Jesus. What a powerful combination at the Quick Check, Jesus and Mark. So we are now coming to the end. We're sitting here without masks on, windows are open, the megastorm, something we have not ever experienced in our lifetime. This is unusual for us. This is the megastorm for us. And I was feeling great fear at the beginning of the pandemic. I was feeling the tension of working in a space where the rules were being written as we went. And I was crying out to Jesus, why are you sleeping while so many are dying from this virus? Oh, full confession, crazy story. One night I'm outside with my dog Buffy, and there's a baby fox walking around the yard, just wandering over here, then over here, and just mewing, crying for its mama. I'm like, where's its mom? Probably went across the road to the woods to hunt, and this little one just kind of got so far and then lost mom. But it just kept going. It was dusk, and then all of a sudden it's after dark, and the little one is still just out in the yard, just crying. So finally, yes, I am that person. I called 911. I'm on the phone with the 911 operator crying. There's a baby fox in the yard and it doesn't know where its mama is. Thank God the 911 operator didn't tell me this wasn't a true emergency. They said, we'll take care of it, ma'am. It's okay. They were really empathetic to me, thank God. And an officer actually did come to the house and shoot the baby fox off on its way. But my question to God that day was, why are you sleeping and allowing a baby fox to lose its mama and allowing people to die all alone? What are you afraid of? What are you going through where you are asking Jesus why he is sleeping? At the beginning of the pandemic, I hung around the hospital in the nursing units of my units, the Max Cato Survivor's Creed. He writes, you will get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick, but God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive, and don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. The storm can be scary, and God working in our lives can be scarier. Trust and allow your faith to grow like a mustard seed. Amen. Now Katie will play a musical meditation. Arioso, did I say that right? Thank you.